This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
I love my morning coffee, but sometimes the crash hits harder than the caffeine. That's when I switch to Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's real coffee infused with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics, giving me smooth, focused energy that actually lasts. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Enter for a chance to win $100 cash or even get your entire order refunded. Head to everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson. Here on the Hump Day edition of the Yard, another day closer to some more college football. Friday will be a travel day for us as we prepare to go down and cover Mississippi State's game at Kyle Field against Texas A&M. We'll talk a lot about the Aggies today. So you will get your Friday show recorded Thursday night. So it'll be available for your listening pleasure all day on Friday. Of course, it is a Saturday evening game. So if you were indisposed on Friday, you can get caught up on Saturday. So busy week for your good friend and host. We got a great top 10 list today, one of my favorite modern rock bands. We're kind of updating a list since they've released some new material. We'll talk a little bit about the Mississippi State non-conference baseball schedule. That's out and been released, and have some notes about that to kind of prepare you for that. And then we got some recruiting stuff as the Mississippi-Alabama All-Star roster was released for the state of Mississippi today. Kind of give you my thoughts about that, too. So power-packed show. Hope that you're ready for a great day, and I hope things are well with you wherever you are in life, no matter what's going on. As I share with you guys all the time, and this is one of the things that long-term recovery has taught me, I want you to have the same things that I want for myself. I don't feel the need to see my friends lose to feel like I'm winning. There's a lot of mediocre people out there that mistake, just getting by for greatness, right? It's easy to be a peacock when you're surrounded by turkeys, right? I mean, it doesn't take a lot to kind of rise, to kind of be the king of the crap. One of the things that I have always shared with my children and with people that have worked for me is, if yesterday was your best day, then the rest of the days aren't very good, right? You've got to wake up every day committed to greatness. It's easier not to be great. You hear me say that all the time. It's so much easier just to let people on social media and let people on message boards and things like that maybe prop you up a little bit. He's like, oh, well, look what I've done. It's not about what you've done. It's about what you're doing. And that doesn't just equate to people in my industry. That's all of you as well. And right now your supervisor is like nodding his head or her head because that's the truth. It's not about where we've come from. It's about where we're going. And so what are we doing today? Recovery has taught me a whole lot about staying in today. What can I do today to have a sense of accomplishment, to feel like that I helped the world be a better place? I don't talk a lot about those kinds of things, but one of the things that I do enjoy is like going to Strange Brew Coffee, and I hadn't done this in a while, but I like going in there and kind of like brew it forward. I do. And or put some money on the gift card, for students during finals. I enjoy being able to do that. And I will share a little interchange that I had recently. And I hate to talk about myself in these terms, but maybe perhaps it'll influence you to do more random acts of kindness. I remember Dan and I were going through somewhere. This is when we were young, And we had a few extra bucks, and we paid somebody's toll behind us. Like, hey, I want to pay for that person's toll. And then we got up there, and it was like, it was kind of a jam getting out of the toll booth. It's like the lanes all merged together. And Dana was able to see that the lady behind us said, ask the toll taker, can I pay for the person behind me? Well, that's two people's days that are made, but also, too, I enjoy the joy of giving, right? But I was a local sandwich shop here. I don't know, a few weeks ago. And it was this real little petite older lady there. And she was kind of picking and choosing what she wanted. And the lady behind the counter was, I won't say rude, but just maybe disinterested. And, you know, I had a few extra bucks on me. And so I paid for my sandwich. And, you know, Dana gets on me sometimes saying, why do you have to be so dadgum charming, you know, with these people? I'm just trying to be nice, you know. And sometimes when you're nice to people, you may get that extra piece of cheese or something, right? I mean, you get a little extra helping when you go through the buffet line. So anyway, this lady, I could just tell that maybe something wasn't quite right in her countenance. I'm talking about the other patron. And so I paid for my meal, and I said, hey, I want to pay for hers too. And I gave her $20, and I said, hey, and you keep the change. The $20 that I spent still carry me, right? The investment that I made in our neighbors still makes me feel good about myself. And you know as well as I do, the lady behind the counter, maybe it's a slow day or whatever, and she hadn't got a lot of tips or whatever. And, you know, it's just one of those things you think about. You know, I think one of the big keys to having is to giving. I think the more you give, the more you get back. And so I share that because this little old lady, like, I thought she was going to cry. And I don't know her financial situation. You know, a lot of older people obviously are on a fixed income. And I just thought, you know what, I'm going to buy her this sandwich. And there's a part of me, too, that I know, you know, having dreads down past my waist and covered in tattoos, there's probably a lot of people that prejudge me. And so I like to kind of flip the narrative a little bit, you know. Because they're going to go home and say, you know what, you're not going to believe this. This guy bought my sandwich today. And so I encourage you, when you have it and the moment strikes, maybe do something kind for somebody else. Because the rewards that you get from that are not financial, I don't think. I think they're spiritual and mental and emotional. And just doing something to make somebody else's day better. And I think you get it back. I do. I think you get it back. I'm a firm believer in you reap what you sow. You know, a lot of people just call it karma, you know, but the principle itself is kind of known throughout all major religions. You know, if we look out for our neighbors, even if our neighbors don't look out for us, our higher power does, right? Who I choose to call God. You can worship who you want. I won't tell you otherwise, but I'll share with you. You better be right. Let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of this show. And this feels like a Bulldog Burger Company week. You know, most weeks are. But before I leave town, I want to have some spring rolls because I want to look my best when I get to College Station, Texas. Yeah, I just say, you see people every couple of years or every year, whatever, you know, you don't want them to feel like it's your aging. That's my philosophy, right? It's better than the alternative, but you want to look your best. Let me encourage you, add the spring rolls to your beauty care regimen. They will make you better looking and everybody around you better looking. It's a new, you know, lease on life in many respects. And then find your own favorites. If you're a newbie to Bulldog Burger Company, the Bulldog is the way to go. You can never go wrong with the Bulldog. I like to shake it up a little bit. I like that Freshman 15. I like the Brian. I like the Lauren. There's a lot to like there. And then get that chocolate shake to go. You can ride that ride home with a smile. And the thing that I always talk about is the portions. Man, the portions are so substantial. There's so many places you go, or maybe you don't get exactly what you pay for. You get more than what you pay for at Bulldog Burger Company. I love that about them. Integrity in pricing. And rather than raise prices and reduce portions, you know, post-COVID, they're like, nah, we're not going to do that. We're going to give you the same generous portions we always have at the same competitive prices we've always asked for. There's integrity there. I like doing business with people that have integrity. And you're going to have that at Bulldog Burger Company. And again, my son Ian still works there and loves it. Feels like he's part of a family there. You need to go put your feet under their table. They'll treat you like family too. Three great locations to serve you. University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. All right, let's take a look at Texas A&M. I'm not exactly sure what to think of these guys yet. Now, granted, they're ranked number 6 in the country. And I think, to be fair, at the beginning of the year, I felt that they were a tad overrated. I was like, you know what? I don't know. You know, they had such a good start to the year last year. We're about to talk about that. But they finished up with a traditional 8-4 in the regular season. This is kind of how it always tends to work for them. And they got the second highest budget in all of college athletics, second to only Texas. And so you do that aspect of it, and you begin to kind of ask yourself, you know, what's the missing ingredient there? Let's go back and look last year. So they dropped the opener to Notre Dame, 23-13. Offense wasn't good. They expected it to be. It wasn't. Because it was a long time before they tasted defeat again. They blast McNeese State, as they should. They go on the road and beat Florida, 33-20. Kind of a coming-out party for the Aggies under Mike Elko. Then they narrowly get by Bowling Green, 26-20. We've been there before. They get Arkansas and Arlington, 21-17. You know, some of my favorite SEC matchups. Auburn, Georgia, I love it. Love it. Arkansas, A&M, love that too. Love the fact they meet every year in Jerry World. It always seems to be a very good game. Love it. We don't always get a chance to watch that stuff live, but I do enjoy going back and watching. The big statement game for the Aggies last year was when they absolutely demolished Missouri. Missouri had risen into the top 10. They were ranked 9th at the time, and they get them 41-10. Well, then the Aggies get the open date, and then they show up in Starkville. Connor Wegman was the quarterback, and had we hung on to a couple of picks, we'd probably win this game. It was a one-score game in the fourth quarter, and we just couldn't get a stop and get the ball back, and we lose 34-24. I think there's some things you can take from that into this year. Not a lot has changed for either team, personnel-wise, a few things, obviously. But schematically, you probably have the same strengths and weaknesses when it comes to your play calling. So hopefully Levy can exploit some of that. After they beat us, the one that made everybody believe that, you know what, maybe A&M is for real this year, they get LSU, who was ranked number 8. And so you start thinking about that right out of the gate, man. They've already played 3 top 10 teams, and they have victories over 2 of them. And at this point, they were in line to clearly make the SEC title game and easily make the playoffs. They controlled their own destiny. They had some of their more difficult games behind them. And they went to South Carolina and laid an egg and got killed 44-20. Beamer Ball absolutely destroyed A&M. Well, they bounce back 2 weeks later after the second open date, and they take care of New Mexico State, as they should. And then they head to Auburn. And there was a lot on the line in this ballgame. And a lot of people thought, hey, they're going to kind of overlook Auburn. They'll be looking ahead to that game against Texas, and that could be a game that decides, you know, the SEC participants in a title game and potentially the playoff. Well, they get beat by Auburn 43-41 in a wild game. And then they lay an egg against Texas and get beat 17-7. So 8-4 in the regular season, they end up going to the Las Vegas Bowl and then losing to USC. So you end the year on a 3-game losing streak. And really down the stretch, you weren't very good. You're 4 of 5 down the stretch, and your lone win came against New Mexico State. But some people were kind of hyped up on this team, and I just wasn't buying it. And I don't know that I'm completely sold on them yet, but I do kind of put it out there that they're better than maybe I expected them to be. They open up this year with the 42-24 win over Texas San Antonio. Utah State, who seems like an extra member of the SEC this year, seems like they're playing a lot of non-conference games against SEC foes. Well, the Aggies of A&M double them up, those Aggies from Utah, 44-22. And then a really big signature-type win for Mike Elko in a wild game. They ended up going to South Bend, Indiana. And I thought, you know what, they're not going to win that game. But they do. They win it 41-40. Pretty crazy. Then they get Auburn again, and I've watched that game. I've watched the Notre Dame game. I didn't think I'd learn a lot from UTSA and Utah State. But the Auburn game was very, very interesting for a lot of reasons. Number one, it made me very grateful that Jackson Arnold's not our quarterback. Now, I wanted him. I did. I said, well, this is Levy's guy. You know. But I think it's pretty safe to say He didn't play exceptionally well at Oklahoma, loses the job, goes to Auburn, gets the big win over Baylor early. And I really thought Jackson Arnold was the key to winning that game at Baylor. He kind of put that team on his shoulders in that fourth quarter and got it done. Yeah, against two SEC teams, he has 17 sacks. 17. 10 against Oklahoma, 10 against Auburn. And so you begin to look at this Auburn win, 16-10, and the touchdown that Auburn scored was set up by a lengthy pick six. It wasn't a pick six. But it was just a lengthy interception return that gets it down inside the five-yard line, and then they cash in from there. So that's the play they needed. I mean, it was just one of those games. It was not an entertaining game. You will go back and watch it. There's like the compressed game on ESPN, like 19 minutes, and you watch it. Not much happens. A&M wasn't great offensively. Auburn certainly wasn't. And you wonder, is this A&M defense kind of turning the corner? Because they have not played exceptional defense before this Auburn game. Or is this a signature of the ineptitude of the Auburn offense? Now, the cop-out is to say, which is a little bit of both. And maybe it is. But I think when you go back and look at the fact that, you know, Auburn scored, 25 points against South Alabama? I think Jackson Arnold has become a hindrance to Auburn. I do. I think he has brought some of his bad habits over with him. And I think Auburn's in trouble. I think Auburn and our friend John Cohen, he's still my friend, is probably getting a lot of calls. They've invested a lot of money in this roster, and I think they have the talent to compete with anybody. But, you know, you're already 0-2 in the SEC, but you look at those games, they're all just like right there. But how can you go back to your donors and say, hey, well, you know, we're just one or two players away, when it's like, hey, we opened up a checkbook for you last year and the year before. We've done our part. And so I think really in some respects, this may be the first real year that you can truly evaluate Hugh Freeze at Auburn, because they were very talent deficient when he got there and he had to get his own people in. Well, it's year three. You know, so you don't really have that excuse. You get the benefit of two portal seasons, and theoretically, I guess, four. You've had the winter portal twice and the spring portal twice, and now here you are, and you're not able to win these games. You're competitive, but not able to win. So I don't know what conclusions we can draw about really either the Texas A&M defense and the Auburn offense, but I am more inclined to say that A&M benefited from the fact that Auburn just wasn't very good. And they couldn't win on first down. They go 0-13 on third down and 0-2 of fourth down. So 15 possession plays and you don't get any of them. Got to give A&M some credit for that. But again, Auburn, I think, was kind of aiding in their own demise. So our ball game against A&M this Saturday night is a complete sellout. If you are going, let me encourage you to get there early. It can be quite interesting getting to parking. Our media parking area is kind of out a ways a bit, but it's not too bad to get in and out of there. Let's kind of take a look at the...
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops. Just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
I used to love my morning coffee until it stopped loving me back. The bloating, the discomfort, it just wasn't worth it anymore. Then I found Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's real coffee blended with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics. Now I get my morning ritual without the crash or the discomfort. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Plus, you could win $100 cash or even get your entire order refunded. Head to everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
At the numbers here, I'm a Le'Veon Moss fan. I don't know how you guys feel. Like, when I watch other teams, there's some players I look at and say, this guy's kind of got it. He has not had maybe the great year to start, but he had a good ball game against Auburn. Marcell Reed is the quarterback. Played in four games. He's 73 of 121, so it's about 60%. He's got a couple of picks, nine touchdowns. Accuracy has been a real problem with him. Now, throws a pretty good deep ball at times. There are other times he kind of gets sped up a little bit and misses those opportunities. It's not a well-oiled machine by any stretch of the imagination. But Marcell Reed is a guy that can hurt you. As things kind of break down, you go out there and play good defense for 3 or 4 seconds, then all of a sudden he kind of evades some pressure and gives himself some time to improvise, and his receivers work back to him. He's dangerous. Certainly can be. He didn't run much at all against Auburn. I think some of that was kind of by design. I do think we'll see him run against us. We have been somewhat susceptible to the quarterback run, including against him. We didn't see him last year much at all because Wegman was a quarterback. When they came here. We talk about those receivers. Mario Craver leads them with 24 catches, 477 yards, and 4 touchdowns. So in every receiving category, former Bulldog Mario Craver leading the show. You know he's going to be pressing a little bit against us. I think maybe we can get in his head a little bit because he is kind of that guy. Casey Concepcion is a guy, too, that another guy that came into the transfer portal having a really good year. He's a bit of a freak, too. He's another fleet-footed guy, good catch radius, 20 grabs for him and 340 yards and 3 touchdowns. From there, the drop-off is pretty significant. Terry Bussey's got 8 grabs, and then it just kind of goes down from there. They don't have another receiver that's got 100 yards or more in receiving yards. It's kind of something to kind of plant and think about. Ashton Bethel-Roman had a really good catch against Auburn, but Amari Knoblach is still there. He is a walking mismatch of tight end, but they haven't dialed him up much. You know, we talked about him last year. I mean, this guy is an absolute freak of an athlete. He's only got 2 catches this year. He's 6'3", 235, but I tell you, he plays bigger than that. Obviously, they use him sometimes as a lead blocker, but he's a guy that can get things done, and I think at times you know, you've got to throw it enough to a tight end to keep those linebackers honest. Le'Veon Moss, you know, back, and you'd like, I'm sure he's 100% now, but 4 games, 54 carries, 307 yards. So through 4 games, he's averaging 76 yards a game, but the big one last week had a much better game against Auburn. Number 4, Reuben Owens. This is a guy that hadn't carried the football a whole lot, but, man, he had some big runs against Auburn. This is a big physical guy, averaging 7.4 yards a carry. Only 18 carries on the year and getting 134, and then there's Reed as the third leading rusher. So it's kind of a three-pronged attack, and maybe the whole situation with Reed is like against Auburn. It's a very physical defense. It's like, you know what, maybe we need to be smart about what we do so we have Marcell to depend on the rest of the way. So, again, you look at these offensive numbers, there are a few things that jump off. One of the things that stands out to me, though, is just that they're riding their stars. There's not a lot of depth that they've utilized. They may have it, but they just haven't utilized it very much. Defensively, Torian York was really good last week against Auburn. I think really kind of a blow-up game for him. There was one sack in particular where he comes front side into Jackson kind of field of vision and puts his hand up like he's going to bat the pass down. And then as Jackson Arnold pulls the ball down, he just grabs his leg and just kind of flips him over. Very athletic play. That's his first sack of the year. But 24 tackles on the year, 3 TFLs, got 3 quarterback hurries to go along with that sack and 1 pass breakup. Will Lee III I met with the media earlier this week. Very, very active corner. They bring him at times on blitzes. But this is a guy that they're expecting some big things from. There's a good chance he's going to be drafted this year, no matter what happens with these rulings that we're going to talk about a little bit later. But you got a corner with 21 tackles. That tells me this is a guy that knows how to come up and run support. And you need a pair, right? You need a pair. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Tariq Chappell is a guy who was a freshman All-American. I remember when we played them, I thought, this guy is a freak. He still is. And he's finally kind of getting back into good health. And another NFL prospect. So you've got a couple of guys that will probably be on a pro roster next year, manning the corners. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Those guys are really, really good. Cassius Howell leads the Aggies with 4 sacks this year. And, it's so interesting to think about, what is maybe the weak point for this team. I don't know that you can kind of pinpoint one personnel group and say they're deficient. Cassius Howell transferred in from Bowling Green. He is a redshirt senior defensive end, and he looks like if you were going to make a creative player, that's what he looks like. Guy's really, really athletic, great burst, great first step, and of course, Bulldogs working through some things on the offensive line. Again, I don't expect Albert Reese to play this week. I don't. I know Luke Work has taken some snaps at right tackle. I think he'll be in the rotation with the tackles. Javon James, Jimothy Lewis, and Luke Work played some left tackle for us last year. So we'll see how he handles things over on the right side. And again, I think Reese is back for Florida, just so you guys know. And I think we're probably in better shape health-wise at this point in the week than many people thought we'd be on Saturday. So I think we're going to be okay. The only one that I am convinced will not play this week is Albert Reese. And from there, we'll see. We'll probably know really more for sure tonight when they at least release the availability report. Probably have a good feeling about that. I suspect that you'll see Smith and Thompson is listed probable, maybe questionable. But if they continue to respond to treatment, I certainly expect both of them to play. So we'll be eager to see what it looks like on the A&M side too when they release, their availability as well. All this stuff's important, every bit of it. Look at some team numbers here. Just to kind of get a sense of what's working, right? It's interesting, Mike Elko, of course, is a kind of a defensive mastermind. People really like him. Guys are averaging almost 36 points a game. Giving up 24, and of course, a lot of those came in that game against Notre Dame, obviously. But, outscoring your opponents by 10 after the non-conference portion of your schedule, you'd think it would be a little more in your favor. Texas San Antonio, Utah State. And so scoring differential, maybe not the strength that they hoped it would be, but I think you've got to give them credit for going to South Bend and playing Notre Dame, a team that played in the NAFL championship game last year. So that kind of skews the numbers a little bit as well. But you scored a lot. You scored above your average. You allowed above your average. On the ground, they've got 32 first downs. They've only allowed 24. Most of their first downs have come through the air. 52 of them. 52 of 92 first downs have come via the forward pass. We're going to have a real challenge. A real challenge with those outside receivers. And how we manage that will likely determine the game. I think you also have to keep Reed in the pocket. You got to make him be a quarterback. Don't let him be an athlete because he is extremely athletic. But they've allowed 24 rushing first downs and allowed 34 on the passing side of things. Penalties have been an issue too. Elko has talked about that extensively. We're making way too many penalties. We can relate for sure. On the ground, after we back out the losses, but they're averaging 170 yards per game on the ground, 678. Their opponents, 469, 117 yards. I expect us to run for more than 117 yards. I do. We talked about Reed's numbers, but Aggie quarterbacks combined are 77 of 129 with 3 interceptions. Average attempt, 9. but they're throwing for 295 yards a game. When you've got a guy like Le'Veon Moss and you can still throw for almost 300 yards a game offensively, you feel pretty good about where you are. They've scored 10 touchdowns through the air. On the other side, defensively, opponents are completing 75 of 130 passes, so the numbers are almost identical. Depth of target is one of the things that jumps out here, and I think that is, again, a product of the A&M pass rush. It's because people are having to go hot. But it's under 6 yards per attempt. Now, we do some of that, too. You know, we do a lot of swing passes and things like that, but this is a very fast defense. I honestly think going east to west against them may not be what you want to do. You got to show it some, you know, just to keep them honest. But I think what we're going to have to attack them is we're going to have to run between your tackles. Run off tackle a little bit, you know. But they're giving up 190 passing yards a game. I think State will probably exceed that. I think. We'll see. Total offense, interesting. 464 yards per game is A&M. And they're allowing just over 300. So very significant in that respect. Over 600 yards more per on the season through 4 weeks. 18 touchdowns offensively scored and a dozen for their opponents. The return game's been good for them. They like to bring it out. We like to kick it out. So it'll be interesting to see that little chess game there. Hopefully we're kicking off a lot, giving them the opportunity to return a lot. And hopefully we can just put the ball at the end zone. But They're setting up around a 30-yard line, yeah, 29.2 yards. They've only allowed 18 yards. We've only returned one kick this year for 13 yards. We're happy to take it to 25. Their punt return average, 19. And that's 10 punts. You know, so it's not like it's just one that jumps out there as an anomaly. We've got to make sure we're handling the return game. They had a big return last week against Auburn. They're averaging 42 yards a punt. Their opponent's 45, and I think Ethan Pulliam has definitely elevated us in that regard. Their net average is just 36, though. So they're giving up, you know, some punts, some punt returns, 28 punt returns against them. All that's very interesting to me. They're definitely getting flagged more often than their opponents, giving up 77 yards in penalties a game. Their opponent's just 51. And, you know, until we go in there and play some disciplined football, it's basically just kind of trading things out. Time of possession is basically equal. They have been 15 of 49 on third downs. So it's right at 30% as an offense. And then their opponents right at 25%. And those numbers are somewhat skewed because of the fact Auburn 0 for 13. Very interesting. They fumbled a couple of them. They have not lost any. Their opponents have fumbled 5 times. A&M has recovered once. 14 sacks through 4 games. And again, the number is skewed a little bit because 7 sacks against Auburn, but they've only allowed 6 sacks. That Notre Dame defense, athletic. That Auburn defense, athletic. So that's a pretty good number right there when you begin to think about you've played 2 technically Power 5 defenses and you've only allowed 6 sacks. That's a tribute to both the offensive line and the mobility of the quarterback. In the red zone, A&M 12 for 12, 10 of those touchdowns. Their opponents are 12 of 13, 8 of them just touchdowns. If we're going to win this game, we're going to have to convert in the red zone. We're going to have to put touchdowns. You're not going to go on the road and beat a top 10 team in the country just by kicking field goals. And so we got to get separation. It's going to be an interesting game, to say the least. All right, it's time for our close with Blair, player of the day. Some things have happened with Blair. I don't know if you guys know this, if you keep up with Blair. I do, because Blair's my friend. Blair recently got engaged again. Yeah. I've met her. Seems like a lovely person. And we're not invited to the wedding, just so you guys know. They're going to go like to Italy or something and get married over there, but they're going to have a big reception. And I plan to dance at that reception. I do. I'm going to come out of retirement. The only time that I really dance these days is when it is a wedding reception. That's the only time I do it. It's true. And I do it for all my nieces and nephews. And I go and I dance, come out of retirement. And then we put it back on the shelf for a while. But I'm going to dance. I am. Blair says I'm welcome to come to Italy and eat pizza with them. If I cannot stand in a wedding, I'm not going. So just you know, how it's going to be. But happy for Blair. And Blair can bring some happiness to your life, too. He can't marry you, right? That's illegal. But what he can do is help you and your bride or you and your significant other get into a home. Yeah, no doubt about it. 24 years of experience in the mortgage lending industry. He knows how to get things done. Thus the name Close with Blair. Blair's phone number, 601-500-2344. Again, 601-500-2344. So here's what I'm going to tell you to do. Save that number in your phone as Mortgage Guy. His name is Blair Chandler, but you may not remember that. But you will remember, I already have a Mortgage Guy. Many Boneyard listeners have already closed loans with Blair with rave reviews. The dream of home ownership eludes many people, and it's not necessarily because of them. It may be because they had the wrong loan originator. Blair can help you get prepared to buy a home if maybe you're not in a situation to do so. Reach out to him today at 601-500-2344. Just call or text directly to him. That's his cell number. That's not an office number or call center. It's directly to Blair. And he can be your advocate with underwriting. So whether you're looking for your first home, your next home, or your retirement home, or perhaps that game day condo, Blair Chandler, the only name to know in mortgage loan origination. He's a Bulldog through and through, has a place here in town, multiple sport season ticket holder. He rides the wave of Bulldog fandom just like you do. Be sure and check it out, Blair Chandler at closeofblair.com. Okay, so we're going to go Blake Chapin because I think Blake is the key to winning this ballgame. Number one, we got to keep him upright. But I think Blake's decision-making could make the difference in this game. They're very athletic at corner. We're very athletic at receiver. We're going to win some. They're going to win some. But what we have to do is avoid the big turnover. And when those opportunities present themselves, we got to throw a catchable ball and give our guys a chance at a big play. I think a lot of that comes from being able to establish the run early, force them to walk a safety up in the box. As we saw with Tennessee, they put a safety over the slot to kind of cut off some of that RPO action. We got to be able to get those things going. When it's a light box, we've got to have this offensive line that, again, you know, we're moving around a lot. We've played a lot of different starting lineups this year due to injuries. But thankfully, other than Blake Steen, none of them have been, you know, season ending. So we got to find a way to get things going. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. But you've got to be able to give Blake Chapin the run-pass option. We can't be in a scenario where we are one-dimensional on offense. So we need Blake to have a big ball game, give us a chance to go down to College Station to pull the upset. Now it's time for your top 10 list brought to you by Kalito Guitars. I played last night. I'll probably play again this evening when I get back from the coaches show. I get frustrated at times. I wish I was better, but the only way to get better is to practice. I'm very competitive, and so that's one of the reasons I quit playing golf. I practiced a lot, and I just wasn't as good as I wanted to be. I couldn't practice enough to be really competitive, and so I got out of it. This is a little different deal, right? There's no scorecard in playing guitar, and so I'm committed to it, and I'm having fun with it, but I wish I was better than I am, right? And I think most of us feel that way about a lot of things, but happy to have a quality instrument from Kalito Guitars. You deserve a quality instrument, too. I can tell you, those people are all about music. When they brought me my guitar, and it wasn't like a special trip. They were already on their way into Alabama, and they brought my guitar completely set up for me, handed it to me, and it was great. But having a chance to visit, you know, you kind of get a sense this is not just an employee. This is somebody that is a guitar enthusiast. I like to buy guitars and musical equipment from people that know what they're talking about. And that's what you're going to get. An incredible level of expertise and elite customer service when you buy a guitar from Kalito Guitars. And it's not just a guitar shop, but it is primarily a guitar shop. But they do all stringed instruments. So whether you're a beginner or a professional, they have a guitar that'll meet your needs at KalitoGuitars.com. You can stop by and see them this weekend as you're headed down to College Station, Texas, and go by their great showroom in Lake Jackson, Texas, just south of Houston, and bring back a new axe, man. You can do it. I'm going to give you a promo code. You can use it in person. You can use it over the phone. You can use it online. It's promo code BSR. You know it well. That unlocks a lot of discounts for you because you are a Boneyard listener. And again, these are Mississippi State people. They want your business. They do. Use promo code BSR and get you a 10% discount. Right out of the gate, that's enough. But no, they didn't stop there. They also won't charge you any sales tax unless you live in the state of Texas. They'll give everybody free shipping. And then they're going to make a 5% donation to the Bulldog Excellence Fund to help Mississippi State put even more competitive teams on the fields and courts of play. Kalido Guitars, C-A-L-I-D-O, guitars.com. Be sure and check them out today. All right, arguably my favorite modern rock band is Bad Omens. I love it, man. I do. It kind of combines the things that I love about music. Like, I love Depeche Mode, and I love rock music, and I like Nine Inch Nails and the industrial sound. They kind of combine all the elements of what I love about music. And they do a good job with the falsetto, and there's just a lot to it. Like a lot of bands, it's all very monotone after a while. All of it sounds the same. Not the case with the guys in Bad Omens. It's ridiculously well done. Dana and I had a chance to see them at the Signal in Chattanooga as part of our 30-year anniversary trip. We had a great time, went to Ruby Falls, went to the Signal. I'd always wanted to go to the Signal. It's a historic place there in Tennessee. Incredible club. It's a huge club, and it was packed to the gills to see Bad Omens. Had a great time. So here are my current top 10 favorite Bad Omens songs. They've released a couple of new tracks in advance of a new album. The track, the newest one, Impose, did not make my top 10. I like it. I don't like it as well as many others. Number 10, going back to arguably my favorite album of the last 4 or 5 years, The Death of Peace of Mind. It's an incredible album. If you don't know the album, put it on a lot of range on the album too. They got some yelling and screaming. They got some very, you know, lighthearted stuff, and they've got kind of some rock radio type stuff. There's a lot of variety on the album. If you don't know the album, let me encourage you, next time that you're traveling and you just want to put on some new music, I think this is a good representation of who Bad Omens is. From start to finish, the album is great. We're going to go with Concrete Jungle, number 10. Great. Now, a deep track on this album that I absolutely love, and it's one of those tracks like you hear and you think, man, I wish I could have wrote that. Like, I've lived it. I wish I could have wrote it. And there's a line in that song that always kind of speaks to me. When he says, looking sideways when I say I'm okay with the past, but I'm afraid of what I might say if you ask. Great. It's poetry, man. It's a song called The Gray. And it should have been a single. I absolutely love it. I think it would have been a huge, 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 huge single. Number 8, I got to text Roy because I wrote the title down wrong. I do. But there is an acoustic version of this. And the electric full band version off the album, Finding God Before He Finds Me, which I think is great. But there's a track called Never Know. And basically, it's kind of like if you've got a relationship, you're kind of like figuring out. And maybe they're not as invested in you as maybe you wanted them to be. And that's what the track is like. I'm okay to never know. You know, it's perfectly fine with me if this doesn't work out, because I can live my life and still find happiness. Number 7, another deeper cut off the Death of Peace of Mind album. And that song itself will kind of test out your speakers. But my buddy Kevin Civello, that I was in a band with for some time back in 91, we talked when I wrote When the Bottom Falls. And he goes, I can't believe you've never done more in music. Some of it's because of diminishing skill due to age, right? But I told him, I said, man, if I ever do anything again, I want it to sound just like this. And it's the track IDWT dollar sign. And that means I don't want the money, which is kind of tongue-in-cheek when you hear that track. But to me, that is like, if I could find somebody to help me do that, I would do it in a second. I need to find like a keyboard and computer like guru. You know, we'll just put a little project together, put it on iTunes, and feel great about it. Number 6, my gateway track, going back to the self-titled album. And we didn't know what we had back then. But of course, the maturation of this band of them kind of finding their sound. I think in the beginning they were kind of all over the place. But this was the first track that they played regularly on Sirius XM Octane. If you're an Octane listener, you know it. It's The Worst in Me. And I think it's the Bride's maybe second or third favorite Bette Omen song. You know, it's about, again, it's kind of about relationships. You know, you bring out the worst in me, and maybe there's a message in there. Maybe I need to do a better job. But, yeah, it rocks, man. Number five, back to finding God before God finds me. It's careful what you wish for, because you don't know, right? There's so much of that. There's a lot of life's lessons in that. You know, be careful what you wish for, because we always feel like the grass is greener, right, on the other side. Everybody always think, well, maybe I could have done better. That is probably the biggest problem with long-term relationships these days, is all of a sudden people get comfortable and all of a sudden they get restless and think, you know what, maybe there's got to be more out there. Well, I'm here to tell you there's not. In the words of Kramer, you tell yourself there's more to life. Well, there's not. There isn't, right? There is a lot more to life, but I think it's important to kind of, you know, be where your feet are. But be careful what you wish for. Because, I got some friends, man. Oh, my gosh. I got some friends that have absolutely messed up their lives. Number four, this was a huge hit on TikTok. And it really opened this band up to a lot of people. It gave them a broader audience. And when we saw them at the Signal, before they played the song, they said, hey, this is the TikTok song. And basically, this is about a relationship that maybe is somewhat ill-conceived. And maybe it's two people that aren't supposed to be together for one reason or another. And what I think this song is about, it's about two people that are in love with each other and they're with other people. That's what I think. I don't necessarily know that it is a cheating song, but I think it's one of those songs where maybe there is some unresolved issues between lovers. And they both have moved on, but have never really moved on from each other in their hearts. And the song is called Just Pretend. You know, I can do my best to just pretend. You know, kind of a sad way to look at it. Number three, one of my favorites, without a doubt. And I love the lyrics on this one. And again, this is off Finding God Before God Finds Me. Incredible track. And it rocks in every aspect. It's Limits. And the chorus goes, if you're throwing me to the lions, you should know I'm not scared of dying, you know. But you're pushing my limits. Oh, it's like if you just want a good straight-ahead modern rock song, that's the way to go. They haven't really turned the corner on that album to maybe more of the dark and mysterious type stuff. And when I say dark, I mean kind of some of the negative emotions in life. So there's some of that in the earlier catalog. But after that album, when they get ready to do the Death of Peace of Mind, things begin to change. The new material that is coming out, I think, has a little bit of a darker element. I don't mean darker in an evil way. I just mean in an emotional way. And one of the questions that I get asked a lot is when I go talk to people about music or whatever, they say, you know, like, what songs really kind of move you? And I'll tell you, the songs that move me and kind of pump the creative juices for me are songs that make me a little bit uncomfortable. And what I mean by that is a lot of times it hits you maybe emotionally in a place that you don't talk about at cocktail parties and things like that. Everybody wants to put their best foot forward. Everybody wants to live an Instagram life and, you know, everything is great, but that's just not the reality of it. There are going to be dark times in life. And there's a track that came out, and we've had it on top 10 lists before, but it's called Spectre. And Spectre is an apparition or a ghost. And it's an interesting lyrical choice. But the song itself makes me very sad in an empathetic way. Because I know there are many people out there that feel this. Because I've been this way before too. Like I'm not a person that is comfortable with praise, honest to goodness. Spectre is, the chorus of the song is, you know, do you feel love? Because I know I don't, right? And so you ask yourself, is this about a relationship? And I suspect in many respects that it is, because it talks about, you know, I'm just a specter in your headlights on the road. And there's a part at the end that really makes me sad. And I don't think the song necessarily makes you sad. I just think it brings me to a place of empathy. And he says, something you're missing made who you were. And I've kept my distance, but it just made it worse. But I've learned to live with the way that it hurts. It's incredible. And I think that's what maybe Bad Omens brings out in me, right? Is it the music at times kind of challenges me because I hear things that make me uncomfortable. You know, it's easy to just say, get out there and, you know, we're born to be wild, right? I mean, those are fun songs to listen to, and no matter who's covering that song. But it doesn't make you, like, get honest with yourself. And I think that's one of the things about Omens is they write in such a way that, yes, it is the commonality of the human condition, but it's almost like conducting an autopsy of your own life. And when you listen to this stuff, to me, it brings out a ton of emotion. Number one, and you may have guessed it by now, it is the title track, The Death of Peace of Mind. It is a sonic journey. It's incredible. And I think it's probably the best modern rock song in recent memory. It is a phenomenal track. And some people are like, oh, I don't really care for it. That's fine. I'm not going to be a snob about it. It scratches me where I itch. And, you know, it's like, I love the part where he says, I miss the way you say my name, the way you bend, the way you break, you know, your makeup running down your face. It's almost like it's one of these toxic relationships where neither person can be happy. But the basically the chorus and the message behind the song is that, you know, love is the death of peace of mind. And love is a very valuable part of our existence. But you know as well as I do, once that you are in love or committed to somebody, it brings its own sense of worry. Like, you can just go through life kind of footloose and fancy free and never have a committed relationship. And I know some people like that. But you never get the full benefit of love. But once that you commit to somebody, all of a sudden it's like you're so worried about, you know, getting your heart broken. I'm a firm believer in just being all in, good, bad, or indifferent. But very thought-provoking song, and I hope that you will enjoy it. So that's your Bad Omens 2.0 list. There's no new material on the way as well. And, you know, we'll check it out when it comes out. And we've done Bad Omens, I think this is our third time. We did Bad Omens 1.0, and then when Death to Peace of Mind came out, we did my top 10 songs off of that album. And now here we are again, kind of updating our list. And we'll do that from time to time with bands as they release new material that is of note. But if you want to listen to a song that is somewhat haunting, Spectre is the way to go. Starts out with a piano, and it builds and builds and builds. The composition behind these albums with Bad Omens as of late has just been next level. I think this is the direction of rock music, and I hope that you will enjoy. If you have ideas for the top 10 list, reach out, let us know. Best way to do that is to hit up Roy Samanthi, Dogmatic67 on X, and you can find our great list on Spotify under that same handle, Dogmatic67. I'm on all forms of social media at ScoutSteveR. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. Man, we love Campus Bookmart. And why? Because they have the things we want. As Mississippi State fans, we can never get enough Mississippi State merch. So whether you're looking for apparel, gift ideas, everything you need to detail out your fan cave, you can find it at Campus Bookmart. Stop by and see their smiling faces next time you're in town. If you can't make it to town, or perhaps game day is a difficult shopping day for you, visit them on the World Wide Web, courtesy of Al Gore's internet, at campusbookmart.net. And by being a loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays. That is BSR, which gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than 75 bones, absolutely incomplete. It's going to be getting cooler. And so you'd be thinking about those fresh quarter zips. You'd be thinking about maybe, you know, just some heavier clothing. You can find that, toboggans, beanies, whatever we're calling them these days. You can find a great selection, courtesy of Miss Kathy Brown at Campus Bookmart, the one-stop shop for all your Mississippi State needs. Let's talk baseball schedule. A lot going on, obviously. We'll run through it real quick, and then we'll kind of get a little more in-depth. And one thing I'll say, I don't know that it's an especially challenging non-conference schedule, though we do have some intriguing midweek matchups. We will open up Valentine's Day weekend, and you know, all girls love diamonds. They do. Some of them prefer baseball diamonds. So you can come out in, with your sweetie and enjoy the opening weekend in your brand new quarter zips and your leather jackets, all the good stuff, as we host Hofstra. Now, Hofstra is a team last year that went 18-36. They opened up the season last year getting swept in 3 7-inning games by Tennessee. So we don't expect a lot from them. They, again, played a ton of SEC schools last year. Also played Kentucky and Lexington. They got swept in that one, too. I say maybe a ton. Maybe that's overstating. But, yeah, it wasn't a great year for them. And so we'll have an opportunity to kind of get out of the gate a little bit against those guys. And, of course, as we get closer, we'll do more of a an in-depth preview. Our first midweek game of the year is Troy. And, you know, Troy came in here last year, and they beat us. Wasn't a lot of fun, but that's a quality midweek matchup. We feel like Troy is going to compete with Southern Miss for the Sun Belt title. And Schuyler, great coach, he is. That'll be a Tuesday game, and then you turn around the next day, you get Alcorn State. So a lot of stuff going on in Starkville. We're going to open up on a nice little homestand. That second weekend brings Delaware. The Blue Hens to Starkville for the very first time. We played them one time before. Hofstra will be making their first trip ever to Duty Noble Field and their first game ever against Mississippi State. We did play Delaware back in 2001. The Bulldogs won that game 4-3. A lot's changed since then. Delaware last year goes 28-25, and they actually played Hofstra last year. Yeah, let that sink in for a second, you know. So it's interesting, you know, how we go about this non-conference scheduling with, you know, with a new coaching staff here. But nevertheless, it's bringing some opponents to Duty Noble Field that that we rarely have seen or have never seen. And I like it when we have first-time opponents. And we have three, if memory serves me correct. Last year, Delaware took 2 of 3 from Hofstra. Took 2 of 3. The middle game went the way of the pride of Hofstra. But not a very challenging schedule for Delaware. They did play our friends, the Fighting Camels from Campbell, and lost 2 out of 3 to close out the regular season. So that'll be your second weekend opponent. And again, a lot of stuff happening in Starkville before we hit the road to Texas. We will have one midweek game, Austin Peay. You remember they came in here a couple years ago and won back-to-back midweek games against us that really had us reeling a little bit. And that was a great Austin Peay team, but we got no business losing to Austin Peay in anything. Then we go to the Amogee Bank College Baseball Series in Arlington. That'll be a lot of fun. Arizona State, Virginia Tech, and then UCLA. We didn't know the all the pairings and the times and all that kind of stuff. So if you plan to go, you need to stay Thursday night because we're going to play 11 a.m. Friday morning. And then the final game on Sunday will be at 2:30. So we ought to be able to, you know, stay a couple nights out there, at the, well, I guess Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, and then get home Sunday evening. But should be a lot of fun. We get home, and then we make the trip to Southern Miss. Went down there last year, and we got B2. You know, midweek games early on were a real issue for us. Lipscomb will make the return trip to Mississippi State for the fourth weekend series. Bulldogs are 9-0 all time. Last time we played them was the sweep March of 2023. So, yeah, most of these games have not really been competitive. The final game of that series was. We won that game 4-3. But most of these games, we won with a little bit of pace. That's always important, too. Get some guys some playing time. Then the final midweek game before we get into SEC play, we'll head down to Biloxi, and I shared with you guys last year that the Keesler Federal Park Classic would probably be a one-game event going forward because playing two games ahead of the SEC schedule, not very smart. So this was a plan. It was already in place. I don't want you to necessarily credit this to Brian O'Connor. This is what the Mississippi State Administration and the baseball staff last year were already discussing, is that we want to continue to go to Biloxi, but it's difficult to go do two as part of a five-game week when the opening week of SEC play is there. After playing Tulane and Biloxi, we'll hit the road to Fayetteville, Arkansas. Then play those guys last year. And, that was a team last year that was absolutely loaded and built to win. And I still go back and think about how it all just kind of unfolded for them in that final inning. Arkansas is always going to be good with Dave Van Horn's there. They did lose a lot from last year, so I'm kind of glad we're getting them early. We went up there 2 years ago. We should have swept that series. At the very least, we should have won the series. And we all said, not all of us, but most of us, after that series, I'd love to pair up with them in a super regional. We would have been, but we couldn't get by Brian O'Connor and Virginia. If not, we'd have hosted Kansas State here. Jackson State is your midweek game after the Arkansas series before we host Vanderbilt. And then Southern Miss returns the trip. You know, they returned the trip here last year. We mercy ruled them. And then it's a Magnolia State week as we head to Oxford, Mississippi for the three-game series there. Last time we went over there, entertaining. Grambling will arrive at Mississippi State on March 31st to close out the month ahead of our weekend series with Georgia. UAB will pay us back for going over there last year and be here April 7th. Now, that's the week that we play Tennessee. We go back to Samford. We've done that somewhat regularly in recent years. We have a great alumni contingent in the greater Birmingham area. Not a lot of great seating there, but there you can bring your chairs. But we have played them rather consistently, and we've gone over there and been willing to play at their place. But that's really more about you guys in Birmingham, bringing the Diamond Dogs to your neck of the woods. From there, we head to Columbia, South Carolina. It's a bit of a long drive. That's where Ruby's from. Maybe you didn't know that. Yeah. I bought Ruby in Lexington, South Carolina, the last time we went and played South Carolina. Yeah, I had to trade in the old silver and black for Ruby. Memphis will be here April 21st, and then LSU. So it's a week of Tigers. Then we get the Governor's Cup game on April 28th in Pearl, Mississippi, ahead of our trip to Austin, Texas. Nicholls State will be here May the 5th, and then Auburn, the Tigers coming in, and then we travel back out to College Station, Texas, to close out the regular season. And so, again, I don't think it's an especially challenging non-conference schedule, but when you consider how challenging our conference schedule is, it kind of makes sense. Some of these deals were already kind of being negotiated before the coaching change, some other ones not. But bringing Hofstra in, again, gives us a chance to get out of the gate, and then Troy will be a very good midweek opponent, but should be a game we win. But you start running through this, you never know what's going to happen. But my hope is that we are undefeated heading to Arlington, Texas. We expect to be ranked in the preseason, and so you got a chance to really push ahead there and then kind of go make a statement for yourself. And I mentioned that there are three first-time opponents. One of those will appear in game two of the College Baseball Classic there at Globe Life. We played Virginia Tech. Isn't it weird to think that we've never played Virginia Tech? Yeah, and they've been a really solid team. Not a great team, but they've been solid as of late. And so we'll have an opportunity to maybe pick up some RPI-type points. You know, Arizona State, obviously, you know what they're going to have. They're going to be a quality team, as will UCLA. You find a way to go get two games or more there, you have really helped yourself in the hosting discussion. You can't go over there and go over three. You got to go beat those teams and give them an opportunity to kind of go to work for you as we kind of put this thing together. Last year, Virginia Tech, the Hokies, went 31-25. But there was a stretch there that a lot of people thought that they were alive, going to do a good job here. And then they had some difficult times. You know, it's just kind of how things work. You get in a conference play, and then you kind of bang it around a little bit. You take two out of three from Louisville, you feel pretty good. And then you sweep Wake Forest, and everybody's like, hey, Virginia Tech may be for real. You take two out of three at Notre Dame, and then you get swept by Florida State, and then all this kind of starts slipping away there. You lose two out of three to North Carolina, lose two out of three to Duke. And so all of the good tidings of the midseason are kind of washed away. And then as you get into the month of May, you get swept at Pitt, who has never been just a huge baseball program. And then Brian O'Connor and those guys get 2 out of 3 to close out the ACC slate. And so, again, there were some moments last year. Virginia Tech showed some real signs of life, just couldn't hold it together. So Bulldogs and Hokies faced for the first time ever out at Arlington. And so, and I hate to be disrespectful, I think Troy is a quality midweek opponent. But everything else around that are games that State should win. And then you head to Globe Life, and again, with those RPI building opportunities, and then the home and home with Southern Miss, I think is very significant. But I think we all feel like State should be able to dominate this non-conference slate. I shared with Zach Selman earlier today, I don't know that anybody in my industry has done as much research about Mississippi State baseball history and legacy and tradition and things like that. But I can tell you this, from in my lifetime, I don't know as an adult that I have felt more confident about the direction of the Mississippi State baseball program. Now, when I was a teenager, you know, we had Rafael Palmeiro and Will Clark and Bobby Thigpen, Jeff Brantley, Gator Deason, so many others. And then just as we're kind of getting over those guys moving on, you get Pete Young and Burke Masters and Jody Hurst and Tommy Raffo and John Cohen and people like that. And we make another run. And so it always felt like that we were like maybe 1 year away from winning a national championship. And we always felt like, hey, maybe this is the year. And really throughout the 80s, that's kind of how it felt. Every year we thought, hey, maybe this is the year. Well, that year never came until 2021. But when I talk to recruits, and we've had, of course, another big commitment with Fisher Howell from Paddle coming in, joining Sullivan Reed. That's two of the top five players in the state that are already committed to Mississippi State. And it's a much better in-state class this next year than it is in 2026. It is. The 2026 class in-state, really not that good. And there are some guys at the top of that. We really like Booth. He's headed to Vanderbilt. And I'll be surprised if he ends up coming to school. He may. You know, Vanderbilt obviously has been very creative with their financing. I'm not alleging anything. But they do a good job using their endowment to incentivize guys to go to school. But this year, Mississippi kind of felt like a down year. And just talking to people in the industry that cover college baseball and cover high school recruiting, they kind of agree with that. You know, there's a couple guys out there that are pretty strong, but outside of that, it's not the typical Mississippi high school class. 2027 is different, and you can tell by the players that we've committed. Obviously, have taken visits to Tennessee and to Ole Miss and to Clemson and other places like that. So Brian O'Connor, I think, is bringing a new energy to Mississippi State recruiting. I think Brian O'Connor, in some respects, has kind of cracked the code when it comes to recruiting baseball players to Mississippi State. Now, Ron Polk, of course, changed college baseball recruiting forever. You know, when Coach Polk got here, nobody really recruited nationally. Nobody allocated the resources to go get on a plane and go recruit players to come to the South like Ron Polk. That's how you get Bruce Castoria. That's how you get Rafael Palmeiro. You may have gotten Will Clark anyway because he was down there in New Orleans, and that was an area that we recruited. But by and large, you know, in the days leading up to Ron Polk being here, we basically recruited Mississippi, the Memphis area, and Birmingham. That was pretty much our sweet spots. Well, Ron Polk was ahead of the curve. I think everybody will admit that. And we had the best crowds. We had the best facility. And then a lot of people kind of begin to catch us. And at times, some people surpassed us. Well, then, of course, we go build this grand cathedral, Duty Noble Field, at Polk DeMint Stadium. And we built the stadium. And one of my friends said it best. And I you know, listen, I was like, you know, when did the standards change? And he said, Steve, when we built that new stadium. And you know what? He was absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. When we built that stadium, when we made that investment in Mississippi State baseball, the expectations for our baseball program changed. And we haven't met those. Now, we've won the national championship, right? I mean, the first few years of Lamonas were outstanding, absolutely outstanding. But I think on the recruiting side of things, I think we've lost some things to LSU. We've lost some things to Arkansas. We've lost some things to Tennessee. And so when I see Brian O'Connor going head-to-head with these schools and winning on a more regular basis, it makes me ask a few questions. And when I'm talking to these recruits, the thing that they keep talking about is, you know, hey, the facilities are incredible, right? But man, it's the staff that has made the difference. And the more they travel, the more they like Mississippi State. In football sometimes, especially in portal recruiting, man, we hate it, right? When a guy doesn't commit on his visit, it's a rarity in the portal football recruiting world when a guy doesn't commit on the visit. There's a lot of pressure to go ahead and sign. In baseball, we're not going to suffer by comparison. The more that these guys travel, of course, we'd like for them to take a couple visits and shut it down. But the more they travel, the more they realize these other schools don't have what Mississippi State has. I think Brian O'Connor is doing a better job than anybody since Ron Polk when it comes to selling Mississippi State. Hey, this is what we have. This is what we can do for you. We are a firm believer in what we've got going on, and we believe that you can come here and flourish as a student athlete and achieve your dreams. I don't hear any talk about NIL and rev share. And I think a lot of that is because we have committed more resources to it. And as a result, we're very competitive in rev share. Now listen, and it's so interesting. I don't know where these numbers ever come from. You know, somebody said, hey, I hear that we're like third or fourth in the SEC in NIL for baseball. How would you ever quantify that? Right? Charlie Winfield doesn't put that information out there, nor do our competitors. So there's no official list out there to rank that. I don't care how many graphics some of these nerds make and regurgitate, that's just all engagement farming. They're just putting that out there, hoping that you'll retweet it, but it's not based on anything. They just put it out there, and it gets regurgitated. And, of course, sometimes they'll put Mississippi State down there beneath what we know is correct just because it becomes rage bait. And so I'm going to encourage you, just completely ignore that stuff because it's wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong of them to do it. And in turn, you know, a well-meaning Mississippi State fan shares it, and it's not rooted in anything factual. And I'm telling you, as somebody who talks to the people that know the answers to these questions, what is being reported is not accurate. And we are under no obligation to put those numbers out there. There's no report. There's no file. There's no open records request that you could submit to be able to get this type of information. You can't. Now, eventually there may be, you know, there may be some more transparency with all this stuff, but nobody in the SEC knows exactly how much, what percentage of our rev share we're committing to baseball. They don't know. They know at times they've been outbid, but they don't know what we're spending, and we don't know what they're spending. We know certain situations, or we think we know, you know. And that's going to be an interesting aspect of this, too, as we kind of move forward. And so I just share that with you because don't fall victim to that. These people have no idea what they're talking about. They just have a Photoshop program. They put a graphic together, and they put it out there. And a lot of people just don't understand it. What they're reading is just not correct. You just assume it's correct because you think it comes from a reputable company. And a lot of times it doesn't. A lot of times it just comes from some dude, you know. That's the thing that's interesting to me. You know, it's just like I can't remember the name of the account. I ended up banning the account because it was so stupid. I got tired of seeing it across my timeline. This guy was like ranking the top 50 tailgating locations in the United States, and he hadn't been at any of them. Right? Okay, well, now I'm going to rank the top 50 baseball facilities, and he hadn't been at any of them. Anybody can make a list. It doesn't make it credible. And so the list that matters is the postseason polls. And those are written by the teams, not written by some nerd out there with a Photoshop program that's just trying to make a few bucks off you because if you share his tweet, he makes a few cents. And then somebody else shares it, somebody else shares it, you respond to it. And you know, don't fall victim to that. I'm just telling you that the information being reported about our NIL and rev share information and everybody else's is incorrect. There's no way to obtain that information. And so there's this vacuum and people want to fill that vacuum. It's like, well, hey, this makes good sense. And there's a lot of people out there that are kind of victimizing fans by reporting misinformation. Final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle, bar none. Bar none. That was a great candy bar back in the day. But Stark Vegas Clubhouse, we've stayed there. It is a fantastic place. It's so great to have everybody under one roof. You know, it's like everybody comes home and so-and-so's got an Airbnb and somebody's got a hotel room and some people are staying here at the house. We've outgrown the house with all these grandkids. But it's, you know, we went rented the Stark Vegas Clubhouse for a couple nights and just got everybody together. There's plenty of room for everybody to spread out, kind of have some privacy if they need it. But the fun thing about those events is just all the in-between times. All the times you're just kind of sitting around getting caught up and just being a family or being a friend group. You owe it to yourself to make some plans to utilize the facilities there at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. It's the old renovated country club out past the Highlands, just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. You can do your tailgating right there. You got a full-service kitchen, got the wet bar, back porch area, the fire pit area, plenty of parking. We don't talk about that enough because sometimes you take these trips and, you know, everybody's kind of driving in and you get like two parking spaces. They got a parking lot, right? So plenty of places for you. It's very safe, very quiet. You only got a couple neighbors out there. We don't want you throwing a rager, but you're going to get a lot of peace and quiet. Very, very easy to find. I think you'll have a great time there. Now, Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, and when you do, their Facebook page will auto-populate. You can peruse pictures of all the amenities available to you and your guest. In addition to that, some booking options pop up. You can book through Airbnb or VRBO if you so choose. Maybe you've got a credit. I don't know. But if you want to save some money, let me give you a credit. Promo code BSR10. That's beautiful Steve Robertson and the number 10, 10. BSR10 gets you 10% off your stay just by being a listener to this show. Again, the premier place to stay in the Golden Triangle, whether it's a friend group, a family group, a work group, whatever you've got going on, it's open 365 days a year, not just ballgame weekends. It's always available to you, and it's worth your time and effort to stay there. All right, the Mississippi High School Association of Coaches have announced their selections for the Mississippi-Alabama All-Star Game. I don't have the Alabama roster yet. I haven't really looked for it, and we don't have a ton of guys from Alabama committed, but we'll monitor that. So I'm going to run it down for you real quick. Our quarterbacks are Braden Shettles from New Albany and Eric Perry from DeSoto Central. Our running backs are Mississippi State commitment J.J. Hill and Cooper Crosby from Gulfport. I think Cooper Crosby may be the biggest sleeper in the state. This guy is really, really good. I think by the end of the year, he is going to have SEC opportunities. Wide receiver group is absolutely loaded. Tristan Keyes from Hattiesburg, Jace Matthews from Greene County, Zion Cotton from Grenada, Zachariah Jenkins from Laurel, Jaden Cration from Canton, Jaden Taylor from Noxubee County. That's three Bulldog commitments there. That's Cotton, Cration, and Taylor, all committed to Mississippi State. Your tight end is Hayden Berglund from Ocean Springs. Your athlete is Demarion Pittman from Calhoun City. Offensive line's a really good group, too. We knew it was going to be a good year on the offensive line, and that's really the trick to winning these games. It's so difficult in, you know, five practices to get a group together, so you better have some dudes that can win a one-on-one matchup. You got Emmanuel Tucker from New Albany, Gunnar Godwin from Kossuth, Bryce Cooley from West Jones, Dalton Toothman from Van Cleve, Trey Shaw from Oak Grove, Jaden Ross from Ocean Springs, Donnell Robinson from Holmes County, and then Mitchell Smith from Picayune. Yeah, some familiar names there. A couple of Bulldog commitments, Dalton Toothman and Jaden Ross already kind of making their own way in the world. Donnell Robinson, of course, remains a target, as does Bryce Cooley. Emmanuel Tucker, of course, has been committed to State, LSU, and now Ole Miss. But, yeah, some other names out there, too, that are maybe G5 guys that are doing a good job. Mitchell Smith's headed to Vanderbilt. So this is a quality high school offensive line group. On the defensive side of the football, Corey Wells, Texas commitment out of Petal High School. Nolan Wilson from Picayune, Jarellen McCoy from Tupelo, Micah Nickerson, who recently flipped from Mississippi State to Missouri, but that's far from over. Jazzer Carter from West Harrison, Jaden Curtis from St. Martin, Devin Merchant from Clinton, Jordan Rush from West Point. It always seems like West Point has a great defensive player with the last name Rush. Just kind of how it works, right? Inside backers, Jared Loper from Pascagoula, Trey Lewis from Columbia. Shout out to the Wildcats. Andre Peters from Gulfport, Rondarius King from Madison Central, and Tamaj Harris from Laurel. Not a lot of names you know there. There hadn't been a ton of linebackers this year that have gotten SEC attention within the state of Mississippi, outside backers, Colin Flanagan from Oxford and B.J. Payton from Noxubee County. That's the one group I look at here, and I say, you know what, we'll see how that plays out. We need those backers to be good. Defensive backs, another loaded group. Preston Ashley from Brandon, Iverson McCoy of Tupelo, Terrell Johnson Jr. from Holmes County, Tylen Wilson from Pascagoula, and Tamario Johnson from Pascagoula, and then Radarion Daniels from Lake Cormorant. So three Bulldogs within that group with, two, Terrell Johnson and Tamario Johnson. So Johnson and Johnson making it in. Iverson McCoy, a former Bulldog commit, but now committed to Ole Miss. Your kicker, Will Uselton from Hernando. Your long snapper is Trey Russo from South Panola. We also had, nine Bulldogs when it was all said and done that made the All-Star. We made that article free. If you want to go read more in depth, you can find it over jeanspage.com. I can tell you, I want to win this game. It's one of those things that, that for years and years and years, I helped provide names to the coaches, guys that I've seen and liked, whatever. But even if I wasn't somewhat invested in that regard, I'm a Mississippi guy, and I have always used this game kind of as a weapon to say that we don't get enough 3 and 4 stars in the state of Mississippi. And then what happens is we go down there for Mississippi-Alabama practices, and all these evaluators that have basically not had the opportunity to see these kids, they see them out there, and they're like, holy smokes, who's this guy? Well, that's the guy I've been telling you about for 6 months. So I enjoy that aspect of it. And, of course, things change, with the recruiting calendar and things of that nature, which kind of brings me to our final point of the show. High school recruiting has been inhibited in some ways because of the transfer portal, right? You only have a limited amount of eligibility, and that's about to change. We expect the 5-year eligibility rule to pass. So as a result, you're going to have a lot of guys that would have graduated that are still going to be on a college roster. As a result, there's going to be less high school players signed, which is going to send some guys to junior college, which maybe is a good thing from junior college because of the fact they have been ravaged by the portal. Used to be everybody that was a D1 bounce back had to go to JUCO for a year to kind of reset things. Well, now people just go and get in the portal. So why would I go to junior college unless I had to when I could go to another 4-year institution? Well, we also expect this junior college thing may pass too. That's not going to impact a lot of players, but it's going to impact a good number where, again, the trickle-down impact affects high school recruiting. So what happens is you don't take as many developmental guys. And I don't know if maybe it's just not better to just say, you know what, I'm going to go get 10 guys a year. I'm going to go spend all the rev share that I need to go get the 10 best high school players I can get, and then I'm going to work out of the portal. I don't know if that's not the better way to go about it. But with 5 years of eligibility, opportunities for high school players are going to be diminished. Once you get there, you've got plenty of opportunity, but it's just going to be more difficult to get there. And so there's a lot of things that are happening now, and you need to be prepared for this. As these rulings come down, we feel the 5-year eligibility thing is absolutely going to happen. The junior college thing is still something that's being discussed, but that could pass too. All that understood, there's going to be adjustments made to recruiting classes around the country because you're going to have fifth-year seniors coming back. And so your needs may not be quite as emergent at some positions. And maybe because you have 5 years to work with guys, maybe you don't have that quick gong and just process somebody out. You're like, hey, we've got an extra year to work with this kid. Let's hang in here with him. All that understood, you need to be prepared. This is what is going to happen. We're going to have a lot less high school players signing D1 scholarships this year. It will eventually kind of cycle itself out. But because guys can stay longer, there's going to be less openings for high school players to fill. So, Steve, are you telling me that there's going to be some decommitments? I absolutely am telling you that. Around the country. And it'll be labeled as a decommitment. But in more times than not, it's going to be a staff going to call a guy and say, listen, with this new ruling, we're not going to have room for you. And I hate it for the kids, but that's how it's going to play out. It's also going to prevent a lot of this late recruiting process poaching. You know how it's always worked? All of a sudden, Alabama and LSU come back late. Well, those scholarships that they had late are going to be relatively non-existent this go around. So there's a lot of people now that are like recruiting guys is like back of the roster type guys. Well, there's not going to be a spot for those guys. So I'm not exactly sure how this is going to impact Mississippi State in this class yet. Do I think there are some guys that committed that may end up signing elsewhere? Yes. Yes. Some of that will be their decision. Some will be ours. But I think it's important for you as the fan to know on the front end, because here's what's going to happen, right? Not everybody listens to the Boneyard, even though they should. All of a sudden, you're going to see a couple decommitments, and then some of the misinformed or uninformed are going to go jump in the Facebook. What's happening? What's happening? Well, you're going to be able to correct them and say, yeah, if you listen to Boneyard, you'd know. This is what's happening. With this new ruling, granting 5 years of eligibility, there's not as many scholarships to go around for high school players, so everybody's having to make some difficult decisions. But that's not going to stop, you know, the self-loathing fan. Oh, the sky is falling. We can't keep this kid. We've got this kid here. I'm telling you, be prepared for this. This is going to happen, and this is where you can help me and everybody else. When you see that silliness, just go ahead and correct it so that this run off the rails, because it gets on social media and it erodes support in the staff and in the program. All of this is going to impact every college football program in the country. But because so many of us live exclusively in the big maroon social media bubble, we are only acutely aware of what happens to our program. And then as things get pointed out to people, they're like, oh, well, maybe it's not just us. Because there's a lot of people with a blame Mississippi State first mentality. We think anything negative happens only happens to us, and that's just not true. So I'm trying to be your friend here and be a friend of Mississippi State, make sure everybody understands. Yes, there will absolutely be adjustments. And because some schools may adjust a player out, there may be a better player that we were in on early that maybe we decided we need to trade out. You know, hey, let's go get this kid. You know, it's the unfortunate part of sports, but as you guys know, things have really become, it's really become a business. Every bit of it has become a business. And the business of winning is what matters most. That's the reality of life, and to think otherwise is just to be naive. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. There's so much of that out there that is changing. And people don't always know, you know. They don't always understand what happens or what needs to happen in order for teams to put the most competitive rosters on the field as possible. And there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be ill-informed about this, and they're going to be up in arms. But it's inevitable. It's not a magic. It's not a matter of magic. It's math. It's as simple as that. There just aren't going to be as many opportunities available. And as a result, some guys are going to end up having to go somewhere else for college. And that will trickle down where some guys that maybe you would be G5 guys are going to be FCS guys. And some of those guys will decide to go to JUCO and bet on themselves. And then maybe work their way into a better opportunity later. So I'm getting out in front of it now, because when it happens, I want you to say, yeah, I remember that. That's true. I remember it. Yeah. It's not going to be a surprise to me. Shouldn't be a surprise to you. If you hadn't done so, go to DutyNobleBook.com. You can sign copies of The Dude and all my sports titles there, in addition to the personal memoir, When the Bottom Falls, if you're a person that's in recovery or need to be in recovery, or perhaps you just kind of like an underdog story. That's the one for you, When the Bottom Falls. And come float with us at True Rest Float Spa of Starkville. Well, matter of fact, I'm going to probably go float tomorrow. That's the plan. Go float tomorrow ahead of that trip to College Station. If you're a person that suffers with chronic anxiety or pain, or you just need a break, we may be able to help you. We've helped many others. We may be able to help you. Dial 662-268-7601. You can speak directly to my lovely wife, Dana, who's thrilled with me right now because I did a bunch of housework yesterday. That's right. You don't stay married this long without doing some cool things. But the reality of it is that she is a person that was basically born to be a nurse, and she was for nearly 20 years, and wanted to get out of nursing but stay in wellness. And she spent so much time kind of helping people. We have a lot of student athletes that come and float too. You never know when you float. You may be in the Oasis room with one of your favorite football players or baseball players or basketball players. You never know. We're happy to be a greater part of Starkville, making Starkville a better place. Again, it's True Rest Float Spa Starkville. Follow us on all socials. And come join us over at jeanspage.com. I got some news. We'll save it. We'll save it. We'll save it. We got some more news coming with jeanspage.com. But nevertheless, very happy to be your one-stop shop for Mississippi State news and notes. Even if you're not a subscriber, we make all the big room stuff free. All the press conferences, we do videos of that. You just go to jeanspage.com and you scroll down. There'll be a video section. You can watch to your heart is content. We make that stuff free. The exclusive stuff and the recruiting stuff, unless a kid commits, we make that stuff VIP. You should be a member, but even if you're not, maybe you can't afford to be. Maybe you're a college kid. You just love Mississippi State. And you thought, well, I can't go to Gene's page and absorb commentary because I don't have a subscription. You don't have to. We make a ton of stuff free. And, of course, those videos I think are great for you. And oftentimes we get them up before HealthState.com does. So come check us out and join our merry band of misfits over at Gene'sPage.com, the Mississippi State affiliate for 247 Sports. And as mentioned, I'll get your show up Thursday night in advance of me leaving on Friday for College Station, Texas. And memory serves me correct, I think Sam Sklar from the Ledger's going, Colin's going, and me and Jacob are going. There may be others, but I'm not sure about that. I think it's just going to be us four. But we'll bring you coverage live from College Station and be able to be there to ask your coaches and players questions in postgame regardless of the outcome. I hope you guys have a great rest of your week. Until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies and people can see a difference in the way we live.